Turn with me to the book of John, John chapter 3. I love the book of John. John is very practical and very pointed in helping us understand how to live the Christian life and what it means to be a Christian. He puts great emphasis on how to know that you're saved and how to stay away from the Antichrist. And there's a lot of things that the book of John teaches us that can aid us as a Christian, especially in this time that we live in. We live in a very difficult time. This is a very crooked and perverse generation like previous generations, and we need to live the kind of life that God expects of us. He expects us to love our brothers, love one another. Jesus taught us that he gave us that 11th commandment, that new commandment that you love one another. Even as Christ loved us, we're to love one another. And we're able to do that because of the great love that God has shown toward us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God demonstrated his love. Even when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. He died for us when we were sinners. He died for us when there was nothing there to be desirable, nothing there to be wanted. There's nothing that we could present unto God to entice him to love us. God's love is an agape love. He loves the unlovable. Amen? And as we read these verses of Scripture, and it begins to talk about and behold, how that in verse 1 he presents a behold. There are many beholds throughout the Scripture. There are those beholds what causes us to realize that we need to pay attention. Pay attention to this love, this manner of love that God has shown toward us. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 1, he says, behold what manner of love, the Father hath bestowed upon us. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you experienced God's love? Do you really know what it means to enjoy the love of God? The Bible teaches that this love is so magnificent, this love is so powerful, this love is so enticing and is so exciting that it comes into the very heart of a believer and is shed completely abroad. In other words, it comes into our lives and it abides there. God's love needs to be a reality to you. If you're here this morning and you've never experienced the love of God, you need to. There's a lot of people that are preaching and teaching the love of God is some distant, some abstract, some separate thing that goes on. They actually only have the love that they read about in the Bible, but I'll tell you, the love of God needs to be experienced. You need to experience God's love in your heart and your life. And once you experience just a little of God's love, and I believe everyone who's saved experiences some degree of God's love. They experience it when they are lost and in their sins, and they hear the preaching of the cross. But Paul said when he was writing to the people at Rome, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. And he said this gospel that he preaches in verse 16 of the first chapter, he said, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, from the Jew first and also the Greek. The gospel causes us to be introduced to the love of God. We are introduced to his love through sending, through God sending his only begotten Son. I also think that this love is experienced through the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Do you know about that? Amen. Yes, the preaching of the cross. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He actually said that nobody, no one can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. There's a drawing of the Holy Spirit. So in hearing about the message of God sending his only begotten Son to die on a cross and become a substitutionary atonement for our sins, we hear about, we begin to be introduced to God's love. Listen, there's no greater love that's ever been shown to all of mankind than Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Jesus said, no greater love hath a man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friends. A great manifestation of love was presented to every person that's ever been saved, because first of all, they hear the gospel. They hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, when he was writing to the people at Ephesus, he said that it begins with hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He also tells us that this gospel was first preached unto us, and we heard it. And he said, when you heard it, you trusted in it. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, just for a few moments. Notice what he says. He says, first of all, he says, in whom ye also trusted, verse 13, after that you heard the word of truth. So, the love of God, first of all, was presented to us in the preaching of the cross. Aren't you glad you heard the preaching of the cross? I know to the world it's foolishness. The Bible says people don't put much stock in the preaching of the cross. People don't necessarily today want to hear the old, old story. But for me, the old, old story has never grown old. I still contend that people need to hear the preaching of the cross. To the world, it's foolishness. But to those of us that have experienced it, those of us who have experienced the love of God that came into our heart because of it, we know it to be the power of God unto salvation. He says in verse 13, notice here, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, look at verse 13, what happened? After you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. He sent men to preach the cross to us. I contend that in every age of time, there has been a people, there's been a called out person, a called out man of God to present the truth about man's wretchedness and man's lostness and the truth about the way of salvation. There's been prophet after prophet after prophet sent to the Old Testament. And in times where there weren't men capable or qualified to be called out to preach, God himself preached it. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Who preached to Adam and Eve? I'll tell you who preached to Adam and Eve. God did. He preached unto Adam and preached unto Eve. Right after the fall, he preached unto them Jesus. Jesus on the cross, crushing the head of the serpent. Amen? Though the serpent bruised his heel, he was saying this Jesus would crush this evil and this sin that has separated us and caused this disfellowship between us, and this fellowship would be restored through Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that God preached Abraham. Amen. Yeah, called him personally out of Mesopotamia and told him about Jesus. Yes. Told him about the seed. The seed. He was talking about Christ, singular. The seed that would come. The one who would be incarnated. Oh, the blessed love. The manner of the love that's been bestowed upon us. God sent somebody to you to present you the truth about Jesus. I believe also showcased within that context, he also provided somebody who lived it. Now you might not think that's important, but I do. Yeah. Somebody who lived the gospel, amen? Paul said that if we didn't live it and we tried to preach something contrary to the way that we lived, he said that we would be a castaway. It's important for us to have those people in our life. Praise God for those people who really, sincerely, and honestly tried to live the Christian life. I think that's important, don't you? We need a church today that's showcasing that our God is a God mighty to save. As Isaiah said in the, it's either 63rd or 65th. 63rd chapter, verse 1. That little phrase at the end of that first verse where it says, God is mighty to save. God is mighty to deliver us not only from the penalty of sin, but to deliver us from the passion of sin. Amen? Yes. Deliver us from the passion of sin. Do you guys know anything about being crucified with Christ? Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God, today we have people that live the crucified life to show the world the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, a God that's mighty to save, to deliver us not only from the penalty of sin. Do you know anything about that? Being delivered from the condemnation of hell? I don't know about you, but I contend that people need to be delivered from the penalty of sin. Jesus said that people are under the penalty and condemnation and under the wrath of God. He said those who believe not, they are under the wrath of God. He said that those that do not believe, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Hey, they'll be hurled into the abyss, where the worm dieth not and the fire is unquenched. Jesus preached a Gehenna hell. Amen. A real burning place. And he said the fearful, the unbelieving, he said the abominable, the murderers, the idolaters, the sorcerers, and all liars, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's a real place. Hell's a real place. And there's only one way. Listen to me. There's only one way to be delivered from the penalty of sin, and that's Jesus. He became our substitutionary atonement. Amen. He bore our sins on the cross. He took our place. The justice that we deserved, he took upon himself. The wrath that we deserved was poured out upon him. He bore our sin. He bore our shame. He took our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we're healed. Healed. Healed through the death and suffering of Jesus Christ. What manner of love? What manner of love? We enjoyed through hearing the message of the cross. When I was a lost boy, that message had some power in it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, it went beyond my ears and my brain, and it got down into a place deep inside of me that nobody else could touch but God. I mean, it got down to the very depths of my soul. I'm talking about the Word of God that's quick, that's powerful, that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, I like that kind of preaching, don't you? I mean, it cut to the very dividings of under of soul and spirit. Now, if you guys know my doctrine of dichotomy, I'm an advocate of dichotomy. I believe that man's only soul and flesh, spirit and flesh. And so for something to divide soul and spirit, that's something that only God can do. Aren't you glad you sat under some kind of preaching that got a hold of you, that laid you open before God and exposed and caused you to feel a conviction deep inside your heart where you came to the foot of the cross, turning from sin? Listen, you'd have never done that had it not been for the grace of God. God helping you. God convicting you. God drawing you. Oh, what manner of love God has shown me. I'm like Sister Linda. Thank God that he looked down upon me and showed me mercy. Saw my need. Sent his son to redeem me. So he says, what manner of love? Oh, we need to behold it. Amen. We need to meditate upon it. We need to study it. We need to read about it. We need to observe it. We need to think about it when we get up in the morning. And we need to think about it when we go to bed at night. God loves us. He loves us. He loves me, praise God. He loved me so much that he looked down upon me in my sins and provided a way of salvation. He provided a way of escape. He provided a way of deliverance. I'm telling you today, our God is mighty to save. Amen. He not only delivers us from the penalty. See, the Bible says, Romans 8, Romans 5, I'm all mixed up sometimes. It's in there. Romans 8, chapter 1. There is now no condemnation. Right now. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Not condemned anymore. See, because the Bible says he became sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen? Yes. Yeah. Forensically, the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to me. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we, listen, you could not be a child of a holy God unless you're righteous. We're made righteous. Most of you, I've heard your testimony. I've heard the testimony of thousands, perhaps. Not counted them, but I've heard hundreds of thousands of testimonies through the years in my ministry. And one of the things that I enjoy hearing about in those testimonies, many times people will talk about at the end of their bitter repentance, at the end of their, when they come to the end of themselves and they trusted in Jesus, there was a cleansing that took place. You just felt clean. You guys remember that? The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The old prophet said, the prophet Isaiah in the first chapter, he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. I'm talking about a cleansing that takes place inside of you where the righteousness of Jesus is imputed into you. And that cleansing, when it takes place, it's necessary. Amen. Your sins have to be blotted out before you can be called a child of God. In order to be a son of God, you must be cleansed. Cleansed of your sins. I mean, those sins, they have to be cast into the sea of forgetfulness. They have to be removed as far as the east is from the west. I'm talking about a cleansing that takes place deep inside of you. I mean, that seed has to be in you. Amen. Amen. And if that seed is not in you, you're not born of God. But the Bible says if God's seed is in you, you cannot sin because you're born of God. I don't fully understand that verse, but I'll tell you, I've experienced it. Amen. I've got that in me, deep inside of me, that cleansing that took place when I was born again of the Spirit of God. There was a cleansing that went on. Listen, when God touched me, it was a holy touch. When he saved me, it was a righteous salvation. How when he bought me, he bought me and redeemed me from the slavery of sin. He changed my heart. He changed my life. I've had a heart operation. The Bible says that faith is an operation of the heart. And when you really trust Jesus, your heart will be changed. You know what I'm talking about? Behold, what manner. I haven't even started. I don't know if I can even get through this verse. I mean, you need to sit down and just think about what God has done for you. Amen. He not only delivered you from the penalty of sin, but he delivered you from the passion of sin. Now, I'm not saying that Christians always live perfect lives. I don't really believe that. But I do believe that they cannot live
they cannot live continuously and perpetually in sin and get away with it.
Amen.
Now, when we do something that offends God, a Christian person, a saved person, it will bother them. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you can't even live with yourself. You know what I'm talking about? You get in trouble over it. There's a conviction over those things. You're like Peter, you see Jesus and you weep bitterly. Yeah, you get among God's people, it bothers you, it affects you. The blessed thing is that whatever sin you commit, even as a Christian, you can get that thing made right between you and God.
Amen.
You may suffer the consequences of it in the flesh.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, you'll reap what you sow. But you can still come clean. I mean, you know, the only thing I ever worry about is making sure that people get things under the blood. I mean, as a pastor, I talk to the young people often at our youth retreats and stuff, and I've sat down with many of your children, and I just told them, look, I don't expect you to be perfect. I don't think your parents expect you to be perfect. I don't think your church is going to expect you to live perfect lives, but when you mess up, get it right with God.
Amen.
Yeah, get it fixed. Get it under the blood and move on. Amen. And praise God we can do that. And I can show you example after example after example in the New Testament and the Old Testament where that has occurred. And God has used those folks in a glorious way.
Amen.
Behold what manner of love. The Bible says that we have experienced. Wow, I've been preaching longer than I thought I had. The Bible says we have experienced. We've experienced the sure mercies of God. You read about that in the 13th chapter of Acts, the 89th Psalm, and the 55th chapter of Isaiah. The sure mercies of David. You know what that is? It's that if you do something wrong, he would not disown you. He would not desert you. But he would treat you like a father treats a son. That's the sure mercies of David. That he would not just throw you away. But he would treat you just like a father treats a disobedient child. He would discipline them or chasten them. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God. He's not only delivered us from the passion of sin, but also the power of sin. I don't believe, I'll be honest with you, this is what I believe. I do not believe that a true child of God can ever be overthrown or destroyed by sin. I believe once saved, always saved. I believe once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God. Now, I've seen it. I've seen some people didn't behave, and God just take them on home. There's been times my children, they go visit somewhere, and I just say, if I found out they were misbehaving, I'd make them come home. I don't care what kind of party it was. I don't care what was going on. I don't care what they were missing out on. You misbehave, you're coming home. And I've seen that in my life. I believe there's some people that weren't living right. God took them home early. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sure. They were still a child of God. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, they probably lost a lot of rewards. But I do not believe in being saved today and lost tomorrow. Being saved today and lost tomorrow. That's impossible. That doesn't correspond with the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. He is treating us like children. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? The children of God. We're the children of God. Oh, me. All right. He not only when we start thinking about the manner of God's love toward us and Him delivering us from the penalty of sin, from the passion of sin, I understand what Paul was saying in the 7th chapter of Romans about dealing with the, you know, the struggle that goes on with the flesh and the depravity. But one of the things that he says at the end of that struggle that he had, you know, when he tried to do good and evil was present with him, at the end of that struggle, he knew that the victory was in Jesus. Amen. That sin did not win. I need to at least get to verse 2, because in verse 2 we get to the clincher. Him delivering us from the presence of sin. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. He basically says, look, I know there's a lot of people in the world, they will not get it. They won't recognize you as a child of God. I mean, you know, if I go down to the Sonic and I order one of their singles, you know, with mayonnaise and tomato and lettuce, if I, you know, holler in there, I'm a child of God, they'll say, I don't care. Or if you go down to the bank and you're making your deposit, you say, I'm a child of God, they'll say, what? If you go to work tomorrow and you walk up to your boss and say, but I'm a child of God, I don't think he'll give you extra days off. John says, we are the children of God, though.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. I mean, we're the apple of his eye. We are God's own purchased possession. And he says, though the world may never recognize you as such, and he says they never really recognized Jesus for who he really was. Don't let that get you off target. Don't let that get you off course. Beloved, right now, are we the sons of God? And he says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him.
Amen.
What manner of love? That not only did Jesus come to purchase us and redeem us from the penalty of sin and the passion of sin, but from the very presence of sin, we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be sinless. Amen? We're going to be like Christ. I contend that Jesus, when he walked among men, he never committed any kind of transgression. He never committed any kind of sin. That he was pure, that he was holy from his birth to his death. And he's still pure today.
Amen.
Bible says that we are being changed into the very image of Christ right now. That we could go into the presence of a holy God. That next verse in John says, any man that has this hope, do you have that hope of being like Christ? He's striving to purify himself even as Christ is pure. Praise God. Well, I pray today that you'll just bask in the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon you. Let's get a song. If you never experienced that love, I pray you do today. I pray you do before it's too late. We've had a request for us to open the doors of the church. I'll explain the rest of that as we go along. But as we sing this song, if you're here today and you have been saved by the grace of God, you've experienced that love in your heart, you know you're a child of God. I believe God's people know whether or not they're the children of God.
Amen.
You know. Amen. I mean, I am a child of God. A child of God. I know that. And we sing that song sometimes, Child of the King. Well, that's just not a song. That's a reality for me.
Amen.
I'm really a child of God. And I'm amazed at that sometimes. I mean, it just startles me. I have to behold it. I mean, I just am amazed at what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon me, that I could be a child of God, God's child, a son and daughter of God. What a blessing that is. If you know that you're a child of God, you've never been baptized, you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism, and you need to do that, I'll ask you to come forward to the church. We'll hear what you have to say. If you're coming from another church of like faith and order, we'll deal with that as you come. Let's stand and sing. Let me say to those of you that are here, and you may be lost, you've never experienced the love of God. You know you're not a child of God. Listen, you must be. God is going to take His family to that heavenly home. Only those that are part of the family of God get to go to heaven. Amen? It's a heavenly country that He's prepared for His people. And if you're not a child of God today, seek Him out. Repent of your sins. Trust in Jesus with all of your heart. Come to know Him as Savior. Let's sing.